You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, thank God we are able to come to the church and to celebrate this great feast. This great feast was named of the Lord, but which, more accurately, is really a feast of the Mother of God. Today we celebrate the meeting of the Lord, and we commemorate the great miracle that took place in the Old Testament and is now fulfilled in the New Testament. That is, when the Hebrews decided that it was imperative that the scriptures be translated into Greek because the Hebrews didn't speak Hebrew anymore. They took 6 righteous and wise men from each of the 12 tribes, and they gathered with prayer to translate the scriptures into the translation that we now call the Septuagint, which means the translation of the 70. And although they did use base 10 mathematics then, it really was 72 people that it started with. It ended with 70 because 2 died during the translation. One who did not die, neither during the translation nor for some time after, was named Simeon. And he had the responsibility to translate Isaiah. Chapter 7, verse 14. You may have heard of it. It's kind of an important one for us Christians. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. And being the erudite scholar of Greek and that he was, he looked at this and said, that's got to be a mistake. That can't happen. Therefore, I will write, a young woman shall be with child. Which, I have to say, is not much of a miracle, quite frankly. That happens pretty much every day. But when a virgin was with child, this is a great miracle. So as he went to write what he felt was more reasonable, his hand was grabbed, and he looked up to see an angel looking back at him, saying, not only will a virgin be with child, but you will live to see it. And indeed, this is the case. Hundreds of years later, the Messiah is brought to the temple 40 days after his birth, so that the outward fulfillment of the law can take place. And this is not unimportant in that the law had never been fulfilled fully. And in order for it to pass, it had to be fulfilled. Therefore, the Lord fulfilled the law fully. He was met there by this same Simeon, this translator of the 70. And here we hear a prayer that is uttered, certainly under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by St. Simeon. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, O Master, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light of revelation for the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. This prayer is read, or in very rare instances, sung, at every Vespers service of the entire church year. Therefore, we can extrapolate from this that the church considers this such a significant prayer, such a significant holiday, such a significant thing that took place, that we are reminded of it on every day, at least once, this prayer is read in the church. It's important for us, I think, to look and see how the theology and action of the church is reflected by what is important and how God sees this as important, because the services are inspired by the Holy Spirit. They are constructed in such a way, not that, you know, I want to do this or I want to do that, there is a very specific way that these are put together. And although it is true that the rector has some small influence on what could happen, I can't say something like, well, in our parish, we don't read, now let us thou thy servant depart in peace, because it's just not that important. That's way above my pay grade, or even the bishops, I would say, because this is something that the church has been doing for millennia. And so I think because the church considers this so important, it's good for us to be attentive to it. This is one of those feasts that we often overlook. We know that something happens between Theophany and Pascha, but we're not really sure what it is. Actually, there's three great feasts that fall between those. But in any case, this is the one that we often overlook. Interestingly enough, this is the only feast of the year that could be moved from this date. It is a fixed feast on this date. But if this date falls in the first week of Great Lent, which it did a couple of years ago, this was a Monday, this was a clean Monday, then the service is moved to the last Sunday before Great Lent. And that happened. The old believers don't do this. They serve it, even if it's in the first week of Great Lent, they serve a vesperal divine liturgy, like what happens when Annunciation, it falls during the weekday of Great Lent. So brothers and sisters, that's a lot of, I hope, interesting information, but what does it mean to us? This is the question that we should ask ourselves. Why is it that the Lord deigned to appear in the temple today, to allow for this ancient Simeon to live for all of these years, to bring his mother, who really, because of the miraculous birth, there was no reason for her to fulfill this practice of the Jews after 40 days. Well, brothers and sisters, it's done for our salvation. It's done for our salvation, and I think we have to understand that. As I mentioned earlier, the Lord fulfilled the law so that it could pass away. That's important. But on a deeper level, I think it's important for us to look at the outward structure that the church gives us and how it should lead us to an interior change in ourselves. So here the outward structure of the church is fulfilled. And we still practice this. We still follow this practice of when a woman gives birth, she waits about 40 days, she comes back to the temple, special prayers are read for her, she partakes of the holy mysteries on that day. Usually the child is baptized about that day. So this is not something that means nothing to us. And we do this in emulation of the Mother of God and how she fulfilled this law. But we should see the structure that the church gives us as something that should be providing us the boundaries that allow us to work on the interior man, that where we are struggling not just to be good, but to be transformed. And this feast is a very important remembrance of that for us. This outward peace is fulfilled. That's good. And for the sake of piety, we do the same. But that's just an outward expression. The outward expressions are not unimportant, but that's not why we are Christians. We are Christians to draw near to Christ, to be Christ-centered. And when we are Christ-centered, we are also community-centered. If you think of being Christ-centered as a dot, right? And then there's a circle. There's somebody in the church who showed me this, and she's probably laughing at me. But I think this is a really good thing. So there's a circle. And each person is either closer or farther away from the center of Christ. As you go farther from Christ, you also go farther from the other lines that are drawn. As you go away from Christ, you go away from your community as well. So this is starting to become a bit of a mathematical sermon. That's not the point. The point is that when we are centered on Christ, we are also close to the other Christians. We are also close to our faithful brothers and sisters. And I think this is really the key that I'd like to send you home with today, is that the structure of the church allows us to concentrate more on being Christ-centered, on making God the center of our life. And the beautiful residual of that is that as we draw closer to Christ, we also draw nearer to all those that we are faithful with. So we are not alone. As the Father said, we perish alone, but we are saved together. And on this day, when we celebrate this feast, when the Lord is brought to the temple, Let's, brothers and sisters, decide that we too will make the temple, the church, the body of Christ, the center of our lives. And if we do that, not only will we draw nearer to Christ, we will draw nearer to each other. We will strengthen each other in our faith. And more people will be attracted to that closeness, to that love of Christ, which leads to salvation. May the Lord grant this to all of us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio production of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Please join us in person soon. To learn more about our parish, please visit our website, stva2.org. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, the number 2.org. See you soon at St. Vladimir's.